Okay, so I this week I put an ask out on social media for people to share the most powerful to them portrayals of self-sacrificial love in books or in TV shows or in movies. And I just wanted to hear what people would say. Like if I said, tell me what you think. I got a ton of responses. It was really fun to see everything come in. I'll give you my personal responses. So first, number one, this is well documented if you've ever come to church here before, but I'm a little bit in love with Harry Potter. I'm not sure, like, this is just my perspective, and maybe it'll change next week, but right now, at least where I am, I'm not sure there's a better depiction of self-sacrificial love in modern literature. I just love it so much. Let's see, another one that I love and my wife loves with me is The Good Place, NBC comedy, which asks really big questions. I really love it. So each of The Good Place's three seasons end with one of the core six characters in some way sacrificing themselves for the others. It's really, really cool. I love it. It's a very funny show and very irreverent, so if you can't stomach that, don't watch it. But it's also really deep, and it asks a lot of great questions. Another one that is hitting me lately, so I get three because I asked the question. is Finding Nemo. So this one is really getting me lately. The character Marlin, who is Nemo's dad, like, he is ruled by fear, and rightfully, because the beginning of the movie starts with him losing all of his children and his wife in this, like, horrible tragedy. And he, again and again, the story is essentially him sacrificing his safety, the thing that is, like, most important to him because of the broken thing that he experienced as a young man. And he sacrifices safety again and again and again to try and save his son Nemo. And there's a scene where Nemo finds out, like, the lore that his dad has become in the whole Pacific Ocean. And it's really powerful. Like, so Finding Nemo is awesome. Here are the various examples or portrayals of self-sacrificial love that people in my social media world shared. So there was Inside Out, Bing Bong. Guys, if you haven't seen Inside Out, I mean, the scene where Bing Bong, I won't say anymore, it's amazing. Really every Pixar movie, lots of Pixar movies were mentioned. Children of Men got multiple votes. I do remember seeing this. I liked it. It did not stand out to me quite as powerfully as some of my friends, but multiple people were like, Children of Men, so good. Lost, I loved Lost, personally. I think I'm one of the few people in the world who loved the finale of Lost. Most people, like, hear that and they're like, by then I was done. So, Les Mis, definitely. Les Mis, you hear somebody go like, oh yeah. Because Les Mis, it's so good. Charlotte's Web was a really great one. I loved that suggestion. The Kite Runner, another one. More votes for The Good Place. Life is Beautiful. Oh, that one destroys me. Love that movie. It's a Wonderful Life. I'm a huge fan. Babette's Feast, which is one that multiple people mentioned, and I've heard of it before. I remember somebody mentioning it. It's like the Academy Award winner for Best Foreign Film in 1987. And I remember somebody mentioning this before. I was like, I should really watch that. I haven't watched it, but now I need to. Anne of Green Gables was another that people mentioned. More votes for Harry Potter, obviously. Simon Birch was one. Haven't seen that, but a lot of people were talking about that one. BoJack Horseman, which was an unexpected one, but I understand it does hold sway. A Quiet Place, recent movie. And then one person said, it's embarrassing to admit, but A Dog's Purpose. So I actually really relate to having an embarrassing to admit one of the, you know, like, you just like, oh, I can't help it, but that one's it's tearjerker, it's got me. I mentioned the other week here in prayer, How to Train Your Dragon 2. I don't know if anyone was here that Sunday, but there's a character that sacrifices themselves for another character, and like, How to Train Your Dragon 2 is a perfectly fine animated movie. It is not. It's not Pixar. It's not even amazing. You know, it's not like top tier, but still it's like, oh, it gets you. It's really good. So self-sacrificial love is incredible, right? Like I'm not even that active on social media, so I don't think like I'd zoom to the top of people's pages and I ask and I get like 50 comments of people like, yes, boom, 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 boom. This one. Ooh, oh wait, I have another one. I'm going to reply again. Self-sacrificial love is incredible. There's something about it that I think like taps into a deep place in us where just that feels right. Like, yes, that is the purest picture of love. It's yes, uh-huh, I immediately recognize it. So as you may know, as Kyle mentioned before, we're in the middle of the season of Lent, the 40 days that lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday when we mark Jesus' death and resurrection. This is a good time to think about self-sacrificial love. It's a really good time to consider that. This is supposedly the time when we mark the God of the universe self-sacrificing out of love to save humanity. And here at BLV this Lent, we've been talking about some different perspectives on what exactly does humanity need saving from, and why was the self-sacrificial love of God so necessary? Jesus' death on a cross. Is it that in some way we need saving from God, like from God's anger at our sin, which needs to be appeased in some way by some sort of punishment? For many people over the last 100 years or so in history, this is a perspective that's felt important. But just to speak for me personally, this perspective feels like it has real challenges. Honestly, it makes me think God has sort of like a good cop, bad cop split personality. Like, we need saving from the angry bad cop father who demands punishment, but the good cop, Jesus, takes the beating for us, so we're all good. That's confusing to me. Like, we need to be saved by God from God? I don't quite get it. Is God the angry father, or is he the selfless and loving son? So I feel some real limitations with that perspective. It's never quite spoken to me. I don't think I feel alone in this. I do, as we've had lots of conversations around the Bible in this church, lots of conversations around how do we develop pictures of God that feel magnetic, that feel like when we read the stories of Jesus, they just grab us and we're like, I want to know more about this. This is something that kind of like comes out of left field, but everything except that. Like, I'm good on all the other things from Jesus, but that feels confusing. And so because of this, we've been digging into some different perspectives on the power and meaning of Jesus' death on the cross. We've talked about how perhaps we need saving from ourselves, from the evil that is so often in us, human beings. Like, we humans are the ones who demand blood and demand us versus them judgments so that we can feel in and safe and make ourselves feel better by, oh, because those people are out. You know, it's God's not doing that. We so often do that. You know, as a result of our resentments and our unforgivenesses and our desires for revenge and our needs to feel justified and feel okay and feel secure, that's all in all of us. But God is so full of love and compassion for us, we see in the character of Jesus, that he enters into our brokenness and sacrifices himself to become the victim of our bloodthirstiness, to become the them to our us, so that no one else has to be victimized, so that no one else has to be excluded or judged or hurt at human hands. What if Jesus saves humanity from itself by sacrificing himself to protect us when we're victims and to stop us when we are the ones making other people victims? That grabs me. That really, like, because that feels like that self-sacrificial love thing. That just immediately, that deep place in my heart is activated, like, oh, yeah. I think the Gospel of John in the Bible reflects this perspective. John writes this: there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. There's no greater love, because when we experience this, when we witness something like this even, it is just self-evidently, yes, inspiring, incredible, captivating like nothing else. It tugs at that thing that's in every human heart, where we like stand up and we're like, we got to take notice of this. This is important. I'm not sure what's going on in me, but maybe I want to cry because I'm watching How to Train Your Dragon 2, or maybe I just like, I want my life to be about something bigger after seeing that or after experiencing that. And this brings me to what I want to say this morning. Because there's just nothing that grabs me or moves me or speaks to me like self-sacrificial love, there really isn't. That is like number one in the it captivates me category. And because it does feel like there's actually a lot of portrayals of self-sacrificial love out there, there's a lot, right? I think there is a huge opportunity for you, for me, for anyone to find Jesus showing up constantly in life. For us to like suddenly have an experience that feels spiritual, that feels like Jesus, the God of self-sacrificial love, is there with you. And that doesn't have to be an inaccessible thing that only happens on Sunday or only happens when we have some sort of powerful prayer experience on a mountain or I don't know. Like, it can happen all the time because they're actually portrayals of self-sacrificial love everywhere. And that's awesome. Like, yes, in the age of the internet, we have more inputs than ever before to make us feel depressed or discouraged or scared. Yes, that's true. But we also have more inputs than ever before to see this. So I've gotten to the point in my life where every time I see self-sacrificial love in a story, it becomes spiritual. Like I feel the presence of God with me. I'm able to turn my attention to that now. It's like my most frequent prayer experience. My most frequent prayer experience since I've had children has not been waking up early, as I used to love when I didn't have children. It's actually like I see a story of self-sacrificial love, and immediately like I just feel like the connection line between me and God is opened, and I'm talking to Jesus. So Kezia and I will often end our evenings like most young adults, I think, watching something on Netflix, right? Don't lie. Maybe it's Amazon Prime, but you know you're doing it. And we love like character-driven dramas, anything from Stranger Things to Call the Midwife. Anybody like Call the Midwife? It's a good one. BBC, it's good. Yeah? Thumbs down. Okay, never mind. No. Back in the day, Lost. I loved Lost. Again, I mentioned that. Or we like the heady comedies, like Good Place, like I mentioned. And the fantasy epics, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. I could go on forever. But what is the key storyline in almost all of these things? There's some element of self-sacrificial love. And honestly, like when that happens now, I don't just have an experience where I'm appreciating a really good story. It's not just, like it is that. I'm like, wow, that was really... I can step back and be like, oh, that was really well done, or I love the way that they did that, or the filmmaker, the writer was really good. That was a great line. But it also feels more than that. It feels actually spiritual. Like, it feels so simple when I have suddenly the thread between me and God is there. Like, life is so complex. My life is so messy. Everybody I love's life is so messy. The world is so messy. But it feels so simple right now that, like, yes, love, self-sacrificial love. That's what it takes. Everything just kind of dials down in intensity. Like, oh, it is so simple. We have in the New Testament of the Bible letters from St. Paul. And in one point, St. Paul writes that all he knows or all he needs to know or all anyone needs to know is Christ crucified. That's his line. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Like, what if at the center of all things, of all of life, is self-sacrificial love, Jesus Christ and him crucified? If we look for it, we can be constantly pointed back to that center point. Constantly. What if we could see Jesus Christ and him crucified everywhere? And again, when I say that, I don't mean... what if we could see a guilt trip everywhere? I don't mean what if we could feel emotionally manipulated constantly. And if there are pictures in you, as there are in many people, of that's what Jesus' death on the cross means, that's not what I'm talking about. What I mean is, what if we could experience constant reminders that at the center of all things, all any of us need to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified, self-sacrificial love. That's at the center of all things. I recently felt powerfully drawn in a way that I never have before to the story of Jesus in Gethsemane, when Jesus is like coming to terms with his destiny I have to sacrifice myself. I'm going to die tomorrow. And he's praying, and this, it's like he prayed so intensely to the point his sweat became blood, it says in the Gospels. And the reason I was more drawn to this than ever before is because I had just reread J.K. Rowling's The Forest again from the last Harry Potter book. But I don't know if you guys are Harry Potter fans, but this chapter is like amazing. This is when Harry comes to terms with the role that self-sacrifice is going to have to play in his life. He's going to have to sacrifice himself out of love for his friends. And he humbly and courageously walks into it. And it's the humanity of this chapter that, like, Harry's fear yet resolve that helped me tap into the humanity in this account from Jesus in Gethsemane. In the self-sacrificial act of Jesus. Like, this is self-sacrificial love we're talking about. It's not a self-sacrificial calculation. Do you see what I mean? This is not like balancing some cosmic equation. Self-sacrificial love. And that just like made this account that I'd heard before, that I'd read before, feel so powerful. When Jesus is turning to his friends, he says, stay up with me, watch and pray, because I'm in anguish. Wow, yeah. There's something about, like, yeah, that's the center of all things. And this is what I mean by having more than just an experience of, like, appreciation for the idea of self-sacrificial love. Like, I do. I have that. But more than that, I'm talking about, like, having a spiritual experience. I'm talking about relating to the personal and interactive God who actually has love, who's not just balancing some cosmic equation, but who feels toward us, and that feeling toward us is love. An idea can have a huge impact on us, and so I don't want to like downplay that. Like, but a relationship is a whole nother level of impact. Our relationships are the things that impact us more than anything else in our lives. And so if we can have a relationship with self-sacrificial love in personal form, how much could that change us? I wonder how much having a relationship with Jesus Christ and him crucified can inject meaning and purpose into our everyday lives. I wonder how much it can bring that hope that I'm talking about of like, oh, it's just so simple. Everything is so hard and complex when I look out at my life and the world, but it's just so simple with self-sacrificial love. Maybe it brings us hope. Maybe we feel less lonely and isolated. Maybe we feel more loved and like confident in our own shoes. Maybe we just feel shaken out of the apathy of just being a consumer or producer on the American conveyor belt, right? That can be a powerful experience, to be shaken out of that. And what shakes us out of that is when we see something so big like self-sacrificial love, when we experience it, when it's not just a good idea, but it's like somebody has that love directed at me. And I do think it is more than just the stories we love. I think in our everyday life, we can find things that will constantly point us back to that center point. Every time we see someone around us take the blame for another, we see a coworker like raise their hand as like own something rather than throw us under the bus. That is something that can point to, like, I can experience Jesus in that moment. It all points back to that center point. Every time I see a parent protect or stand up for their kid out of love, even when that means they will catch flack, they'll have to stomach the reputation of being that parent. That's self-sacrificial love. Every time I see someone stand up for a victim of stereotyping or scapegoating by calling out racist or prejudiced behavior, when you do that, the spotlight goes on you, you feel uncomfortable. But that's self-sacrificial love. And I think every single one of those moments are spiritual opportunities. I'm learning to take them more. I'm learning that, like, I think having a life shot through with regular, constant connection with Jesus is not as inaccessible as I think it is, because there are inputs everywhere that can bring me back to what he is all about. Having a life shot through with feeling connection with God constantly, every day. It doesn't start with feeling guilty. It doesn't start with believing we're deserving of judgment or punishment. It starts with feeling loved by God to the point that if push came to shove, God would want you to live over himself. Think about that. That's backwards, right? God wants me to live over himself? It shouldn't be that way, is what our insides say. But this is what I think the message of Lent is. This is what the message of Jesus is. When St. Paul wrote about knowing only Christ crucified, what we looked at a moment ago, he acknowledged that that would feel like foolishness to most people. But he said, God's foolishness is even wiser than human wisdom. I like that. That seems to capture it. And so whether we're talking about the high stakes of life that like Harry Potter gets us to think about, right? It's a high, good and evil, things coming to a head, or whether it is the low stakes of spouses, parents, children, coworkers, consumers, voters, neighbors, citizens of the world, just making small self-sacrificial acts. Whether it's the high stakes or the low stakes, I think we have the constant, constant opportunities to find Jesus in our everyday lives. And more so than just appreciating a good idea, to actually feel self-sacrificial love in personal form connecting with us. Saying, hey, yeah, talk to me. I'm here when you see that. And so this is what I'll leave us with for today. Look for self-sacrificial love everywhere and in everything. And when you see it, because you will, it's everywhere, take that as an opportunity. Don't just like enjoy the experience for a moment. If you feel kind of like you want to cry, don't stop yourself just because it's How to Train Your Dragon 2. Let the tears flow and then like make it a prayerful thing. Prayer doesn't have to look like you on your own, you know, with a candle lit or sitting in a chair, you know, with nobody else. Like, yes, I actually, what I just described sounds really nice to me now that I have two children. So I kind of want to make some space for that later. But it doesn't have to look like that. Like, prayer can be at the end of a long day when I really could do some productive things, but I end up watching Netflix. But man, that story really hit me because there was self-sacrificial love in it. And suddenly that's a chance for me to connect with Jesus. That's what prayer can look like. We can have those experiences. And so, like, take a moment to ask God, like, what do I do? If you see it, if you have that experience, no matter where it happens, ask God, what do I do with this? Like, take a moment, step back. And maybe you saw somebody do something, and what you feel like God says is, hey, go and, like, encourage that person. Like, hey, I just saw you take some flack for that, but that really inspired me. Go you. Yeah, maybe don't say go you. Nobody says that. But acknowledge it for somebody. Or maybe the encouragement that you're feeling is like, yeah, you're feeling like God wants to start a conversation. Like, yeah, what was it about that struck you so much? Why does that feel so powerful? What? And then like suddenly Jesus is your therapist. Like, yeah, it did feel powerful because of this. Oh my gosh, you're right. Like that's I've had those experiences. That's really amazing. Or maybe it's just like you see something and suddenly you feel like that feeling that I'm talking about, like, I just want my life to be about something bigger after I saw something. And so maybe God is saying, like, you saw that, I want you to go and do the same. I want you to go and be about self-sacrificial love towards somebody else. So I would love to pray with us at this point, and I can think of a couple of things that I might want to pray for us for. Let me flag them for you, and then we'll take a moment. I can pray for us all. The first thing that I'm thinking is, I believe that there are probably people here who their experience is they feel like they are constantly sacrificing themselves for someone else or for other people in general, and that never gets noticed. And if that's you, I think that there is, I go back to the picture of Jesus in Gethsemane and like turning to his friends and saying, stay up with me, I'm in anguish. And his friends fall asleep. And there's something there that Jesus teaches us and I think can teach you today if you are somebody who feels like you're constantly sacrificing and it just never gets noticed. You feel like everybody's falling asleep on you. You're Jesus in Gethsemane. And Jesus is able to access a connection with God in that account of Gethsemane, which is incredible. And I think that there's something like that that you can experience here today. Or maybe there's something about the way that Jesus just really cleanly asks, I am in anguish, stay up with me, that we can learn from. I think there's something there for you if you're somebody who feels that. So that's the first thing I want to pray for. The second thing I want to pray for is if you feel like me. So for me personally, something that's really powerful here is a God who is putting my needs above, if God had needs, putting my needs above anybody else's, putting my needs above his own. And like the way I grew up, the household that I grew up in, the experiences that I had as a kid, a lot of ways told me that my needs don't matter as much as everyone else's. And so to experience that from God feels backwards, but feels really powerful. It feels like water on dry land. And if you have that same sort of experience right now of like, your needs matter, God of the universe will sacrifice himself for you. And that feels like, no. Like you just want to like hold that at arm's length because it feels too backwards. My guess is that actually there's something about that could be really powerful if you can let it hit home with you. So I also want to pray for us on those. Those two things thrown out there. Can I ask you all to stand with me and I'm going to pray for us. Well, you can keep your eyes open or close your eyes, whatever helps you to feel comfortable right now. I'm going to pray for us, all of us as a group here. So God, I pray that you would give each of us now whatever it is we need to be present right now, whether that's courage or comfort or space to say or feel whatever it is we have in our head right now. And I pray for those of us right now who are feeling that first category of people I'm talking about. We feel like we're constantly making sacrifices. We are constantly sacrificing ourselves. And we're trying to do it out of love. Maybe it started out of love, but no longer it feels that because we're so fed up with not being noticed. And whether that is in some sort of family relationship or work relationship or like roommate relationship or neighbor relationship or whatever it is, I ask Jesus right now that you would show us what you experienced in Gethsemane, where you're like, I am in anguish. I need people to stay up with me, and they're falling asleep. God, this sucks. Be with me. Give me the strength to keep going. Give me the strength to do what is necessary for my life. Give me fresh vision for why. Like, I feel like God wants to say, that, okay, so take this with a grain of salt. This may not be what God is saying to you, but perhaps it is. I feel like God might want to say to some of us, like, don't give up the self-sacrificial love thing if you're feeling in this place. You should give up, like, what should you give up? You should give up beating your head against a brick wall to try and get somebody to wake up and be with you when you're in anguish. But don't give up the self-sacrificial love thing. There are other people, and there is a God who wants to give you what you need when you are in anguish and you cannot go on. And you can get that. This is not a hopeless situation. But keep going up to bat. That is the best thing about you, I feel like God is saying, that you are willing to sacrifice yourself for another out of love. There's no greater love than one who's willing to do that. And then I pray for those of us who feel such a level of like it's water on dry land that it almost feels uncomfortable to say that there is a God who would want me to live instead of him. That level of truly self-sacrificial love is not something we experience. And so I just pray that we could feel that now. I pray that as we're singing and as we're praying together, that we would feel a rest there, that we would feel calm there in that place of, I am loved. God on the cross is not something to make me feel guilty or something to balance some cosmic equation. It is God standing in front of violence that's directed at me or punishment that's directed at me or us versus them, judgments that's directed at me. And God says, I will be the victim so you don't have to. And so I ask for a chance to, more than just feeling that's a good idea, but have an experience of that this morning.